Can you see me or hear me? Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Aquia. Good morning, Nicole. How are you? It's so exciting to be here. So thank you for opening us up. And let's see, I have a slide I'll try to share. Welcome, BK family. It's just great to see everyone. So let's see if this works. Try to show slides to be able to show scripture. So let's see if it works. There we go. Would either of you want to read the opening scripture for us?
Yes, my pleasure. So it's coming from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We come here this morning just to praise God for who he is. And it is just wonderful to have another day with him. It is exciting to be with you, family. It is another day that the Lord has made. And we can just start by opening up in prayer. God, we thank you for who you are. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We thank you for coming into this place. We thank you for coming into our homes. We thank you for coming into our rooms. We thank you for coming into our vehicles, wherever we may be listening and participating. We thank you so much for being with us here on today. And God, we pray that you will show up and do what only you can do. We pray and we thank you for being God and God alone. So Lord, show up in our situations. You know the week that we have had. You know the month that some of us have had. God, you know the year that some of us have had. We thank you for your omniscience. We thank you that you are everywhere at the same time. And we thank you that you are all powerful. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Thank you so much. And family, we are gathered here today. I call us all to worship God. We thank you for who you are. Please do have your way. Please do have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Go ahead and give God some praise. Thank him. No matter if it's cold out, if it's hot out, wherever you may be from, give God some praise. Certainly the weather is changing, but we serve a God who never changes, who never, ever changes. We're going to enter into a time of song right now. Nicole and Aquia, thank you so much for bringing us to this moment, and we will see you shortly. Family, let's enter into a time of song. Amen.
As our opening scripture called us to praise this morning, I got excited because that's just what we're going to do with this first song. And so I'll invite you to join with me. Hannah's here in the background, so if you see me looking downward, I'm just making sure she's not falling off of a chair. But we are going to sing and worship our God together this morning. So join in wherever you are, in your room, wherever you may be, and let's praise our God together.
Good and your mercy endureth forever.
nation and tongue. From generation to generation, we worship you. Praise God with me. Clap your hands. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Let's sing that again. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Sing it like you mean it. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you.
Certainly he is a good God and a gracious God, and we worship him for who he is. Amen, family. Amen. You know, this is the time where we have an opportunity to do our love assault. And the love assault is an opportunity to just love and connect and share a quick conversation with others who are a part of the BK family. The question for our love assault, or the fill in the blank for our love assault, is, let's see, what is it? It is one good thing that has happened this past week. One good thing that has happened this past week. And you fill in the blank. Okay, so if you are ready to do love assault, you're going to go to the networking session. It will be a 2-minute time conversation. You have the opportunity to share your audio and your video. When you're ready to participate, you click a button to share audio and video, and it will ask you to grant permission for you to share audio and video. If you are on the iPhone, then use Safari. If you're on other systems, you can use the Chrome browser and just have fun. Now, you should have time for between 2 and 4 people. Then we have to come back to the stage. So go ahead and have fun and see who you can meet in the Love Assault. All right, family, welcome back. Did you make it back? Did you make it back? I gave you an extra minute. Did you make it back to the main stage location? So welcome back. I hope you had an opportunity to talk with people. You know, go ahead and put in the stage chat. So there's several chats. There's the event chat, and then there's a stage chat. Go ahead and put in the stage chat. Who did you meet? Who did you see? There's about a 20 second delay before I see who comes up. All right, so Mark Henry made it back to the stage. All right, thank you, Mark Henry. Just go ahead and type in there who you met. You may not remember their name. That's okay, too. How many people did you meet? How many people did you get a chance to connect with? Right now, we're going to enter a time of song once again through worship. And I invite Lady Rochelle to take us forward in that. So, thank you. All right.
Yes, Rebecca, we had the pleasure of meeting up in the Love Assault 2 weeks in a row. Let's see how long this run keeps going. We're going to enter into just a time of focused attention on God through a song. And I'm going to read from Psalm 42, starting at verse 1. And then we'll just enter in. Feel free to close your eyes as you sing. If you know the words, if you don't, they'll be up on the screen. And we'll just sing our praise and our worship to God together. Psalm 42 and verse 1 reads, and this is in the New King James Version, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" And then I'm going to skip down to verse 9. "I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." And with everything that's happening in the world and in our individual lives right now, I've certainly gotten to moments where I felt like I was asking myself, where is your God? You know, God, where are you? But I'm encouraged this morning by just the reminder in this psalm that I can ask my soul why it's disquieted and then bring up the reminder to hope in God and to praise him anyhow, to remember that he is the help of my countenance. He is my God. And so I'm asking God in this season just to give me an overwhelming hunger and thirst for him and for his word, and to remember that despite everything that's going on around me, that he is still sovereign, that he is still God, and that he is our source, our shield, our strength, our protector, our provider, and our peace.
To you alone be my strength.
worship thee.
For your goodness and your mercy. We thank you in this place. Thank you, God, just for who you are. You're worthy, you're awesome. There is no one beside you in the heaven nor in all the earth. You are the one, the true, the living God. And for that we worship you, for that we glorify you, for that we exalt your name on high. We thank you so much for giving us another opportunity to gather in your name and in your presence. And even though we may not be in the presence of one another, Lord, we are in your presence. And we are all connected together as one body because of you, because of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you so much for being our good shepherd. We thank you for leading us and guiding us in the way that we ought to go. We thank you so much for your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, and that our soul knows so well. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We adore you. We magnify your name, and we offer up this sacrifice of time for your glory. Have your will, have your way. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lady Rochelle, for bringing us forward in worship. Family, it's so great to be with you today as we break bread of God's word. And I'm just excited to be in this communal space, this spiritual place with you. Um, have this scripture here that I'll mention. Which is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, we find these words. It says, let me show it to you here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, we find these words. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. On last week, we began this September series, So Shall I Walk. So Shall I Walk. And it is a series on the love, the light, and the wisdom of walking with Jesus. On the love, the light, and the wisdom of walking with Jesus. Our opening text for today can be found in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. And if somebody would put that in the chat, you can put both Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, and also Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Thank you so much. And if you would like to grab your Bible, go ahead and do so. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 going through verse 14, we find these words from the Apostle Paul. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And then in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Family, for our time together today, I want to speak from the theme in our hearing, walk for your life. Walk for your life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather. We thank you for the opportunity to be once again under your word. And we pray that your word might continue to be a light and a lamp as we take this journey called life. We thank you so much for this time together. God, do for us all that you purpose to do. Let your word go forth in the fullness of which you have sent it. Hide me behind your cross. Let no one hear me, but let us hear all of you. We thank you for all things. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, family, we learned that walking as Jesus walked is to walk in love. Divine love, agape love, love that is the fruit, that is the manifestation, that is the byproduct of God's working within you by his Holy Spirit. Love is the impetus for which God the Father sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to be the Christ, the Messiah, to save the world. And indeed, Jesus, who knew no sin, while living, he died a sinner's death, crucified on the cross of Calvary without putting up a fight. And Acts says that he was led as sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus was buried in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, as we learned in Bible trivia this past week. And on the morning of the first day of the week, on Sunday morning, on the third day, and hence why the early church gathered to worship on Sunday mornings, Jesus got up, and he got up with all power in his hands. He showed himself alive to his disciples and then ascended to heaven. Jesus now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and making intercession for me. Jesus, this Jesus, to walk with him, to walk as him, is to walk in love, is to walk as love, to live a life of loving others as only God through us makes such a life possible. To walk with Jesus is not only a walk in love, but to walk with Jesus is also a walk in light. And from the text that I will present, I argue that it is also a walk in freedom. Jesus spoke these words recorded by John in the 8th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." As a representative of Christ, as a recipient of the grace of Jesus Christ, as those who acknowledge that we are beneficiaries of the demonstrated love of God, not merely words spoken and not acted upon or followed through on, but demonstrated love, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." As a representative of Christ, I have and I hold and I carry and I exude the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way, recorded by Matthew in chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden." And again in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I ask myself, do enough people glorify God because of the life that I live? And I ask you, do enough people glorify God because of the life that you live? The Apostle Paul charges us in this way in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. For the fruit of the Spirit," or the earlier manuscripts read, "for the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." God's light in my life brings forward what is good, what is right, and what is true. Someone write that in the chat. God's light brings forth what is good, what is right, and what is true. And when I am around other people and they experience the light of Jesus Christ because of my life, because of my presence, and dark things are uncovered, and what was hidden now becomes revealed, because by definition, light illuminates. When I am around other people with the light that I bring, with the light that I walk in, and they, are they led to freedom? Or do I bind them with judgment? When I'm around other people with the light that I bring in, with the light that I walk in, are they led to freedom, Orlando? Or by your actions and your thinking, do I bind them in judgment? And so I ask you, who are my spiritual kin, are the people around you free to live? Experiencing what Jesus declared in John chapter 8, verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, 'If you abide in my word,'" meaning you live your life according to the scripture, "you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I ask this because as bearers of Christ's light, we are bearers of the truth. And we live in such a way as to clarify what life of worship God will favorably receive unto himself. What life of worship and activities are acceptable to the Lord. And so what does God want from us? Well, he wants that we will follow after him, that we will walk in light, and that we will have life. 1 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 4 reads that God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we can find out more about what God wants by what Jesus did. And so I ask you to bear with me as we look at the book of John and chapter 8, beginning at verse 2. And this might be a familiar scripture to some of us, and it may be new to others of us. But it tends to be a pretty popular scripture for all that it brings forward in this passage. In the book of John, chapter 8, looking at verse 2, reading through verse 12, we find these words. "Now early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them." Verse 3, "Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act.' Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, Jesus raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went away one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not abide in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let me read it again. I'm messing it up. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And remember, we're talking about a walk for our lives. In this text, some dark things come to light. And there's a life hung conspicuously in the balance. The text or the scene opens. It was a new day, but a familiar old pattern. Jesus was in Jerusalem. Jesus was in the temple where he had been before. Jesus was teaching, which he had done before. And Jesus had a crowd, which he had before. While Jesus sat and taught, the scribes and Pharisees approached him. The scribes and Pharisees were the religious authorities with political and cultural influence on Jewish life and practice because of their knowledge, understanding, interpretation, study, and attempt at exact practice of biblical law or Moses' law. These religious leaders publicly interrupt Jesus' teaching, Jesus' classroom setting. They go in front of Professor Jesus. And with an agenda they had acted upon in the past, which was trying to catch Jesus in the wrong so that they may bring charges against Jesus, discrediting Jesus in front of the crowds that gathered to him, the people that believed that Jesus is from God. And so the religious leaders know that Jesus is compassionate. And so they manipulate a scenario to force Jesus to act outside of his character or to undermine the Jewish religious standards. But as one might could guess, when you bring darkness, a dark situation, to the light of this world, everything nearby brightens up and everything is seen for what it is. This time, the religious leaders brought before Jesus a woman caught in adultery in the very act, they say. Adultery under Roman law was not a capital offense. However, the biblical law or Moses' law prescribed death for both partners involved in an adulterous relationship. Now, this setup by religious leaders is revealing of several important things. First, the religious leaders are unjust. The religious leaders are unjust. They are not concerned with justice because they let go the woman's partner. If they caught the woman, quote, in the very act, then I would suggest to you that they also caught the other partner, but they let their partner off. So the religious leaders are not interested in justice. Second, the religious leaders don't value people. They certainly don't value this woman. sitting the woman in the midst of Jesus. They spoke for her. They spoke about her, silencing, discounting, diminishing, and dismissing her voice. And third, the religious leaders are prideful. They are willing and even eager to destroy a life rather than to preserve life. And so these religious leaders expose an act of adultery that had been done in secret. And they bring it more out into the open by bringing the woman to Jesus in front of all those who gathered as Jesus taught. Now, Jesus, in contrast to the religious leaders, he responds, revealing several notable things. First, Jesus is just. Jesus asked one question that leveled the playing field regarding Moses' law. He said, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. He who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone first." This reminds me of the words in Romans 3:10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." How we know Jesus' question leveled the playing field is that John 8:9 says in verse 9, "Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst." I find it interesting that they went out from the oldest to the last to the youngest. But I can relate. The older I get, the more I recognize how unrighteous I am and how much I need Jesus. When I was younger, I was self-righteous, willing to point out everything that everybody else had done. But I just lived a little while and I didn't cross a number of T's and certainly didn't dot a number of I's. And I just recognized that I depend on his mercies that are new every morning. The second thing that the text shows us that is notable about Jesus is that Jesus values people. Jesus valued the woman. Don't miss this, family. The first time in this account that we hear the woman speak for herself in her own voice is when Jesus asks her a question. One of the ways you know you value people is that you don't speak about them, you don't speak for them, but you ask them to speak to you and you have a conversation with them. Jesus valued this woman. And number three, Jesus loves her to life. Jesus loves her to life. Jesus and the woman both know what is true of her actions and the religious law. Yet Jesus does not condemn her. Jesus preserves her life and he instructs the woman in the way of truth. In John 8:11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." In John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." When God begins to work in your life, as his Holy Spirit on the inside of you, helping you to look more like Jesus, your life decisions will begin to make evident what is good, what is right, and what is true. Not only evident to you, but also evident to those around you. Those around you will begin to know what is good, what is right, and what is true. And I will ask you the question that I have to ask myself. And that is, will you be just, acknowledging that none of us is perfect? Will you value people, especially people who others dismiss and try to condemn? And will you love others to life, restoring and not destroying a person's opportunity to walk with Jesus? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through verse 10 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Family, my question for you today is, what will you do with your light? What will you do with your light? Right now, I invite Lady Rochelle to come and lead us in our closing song, We've Come This Far by Faith. And the reality is, family, that for those of us who have been walking with Jesus a little while, the reality is we know that indeed we have come this far by faith. And it's only by the Lord's hand upon us that we have made it this far. But there may be others of us who are participating today, or others of us who watch this at some point, who have experienced people like the religious leaders in the day who were willing to condemn and willing to point out fault and willing to dismiss your life and maybe even destroy your life just to make their life look better. But I submit for your encouragement today that Jesus is not like that. As we see in this story, Jesus valued the woman. Jesus valued life. And Jesus is not interested in condemning, but allowing us to walk in the light of Jesus Christ and all that is good and all that is right and all that is true. So even now, as we sing this song, We've Come By Faith, I invite you to meditate on how far you've come, and then we will close in prayer. Thank you. Amen. Family, thank you so much for our time together today. We are just so grateful for God and who He is and all that He has done. It is great being with you. I just want to highlight, I forgot to do it last week, but just highlight those who are experiencing BK worship for the first time or for the first time this semester. We welcome you. We welcome you. And feel free to say in the chat if this is your first time. And we invite you to stay around and chat after the service. I'll go to one of the lunch tables and hang out there. And others can get your food and come back to the lunch table. But we are just so grateful for God. We're so grateful for His goodness. We're so grateful for His mercy. And I am grateful for you, that you are in a place of getting to know Him and walking with Him and talking with Him, and not just getting to know God, but also getting to know ourselves as a body of believers. Family, I send you forward in the fullness of God's grace, in the fullness of His peace, and in the fullness of His joy. I love you so very much, and I appreciate you. above in this chat, there's a link to join our GroupMe. If you want to be a part of the conversation and continue to receive updates, we are just so grateful. So before you leave, bless everybody. Call somebody by name. Hug somebody virtually in the chat. Let them know that it was good to see them, that you were happy to be with them. And it is just wonderful to be with you. Love you, family, so much. God bless you. God keep you. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. Amen. Wonderful, family. Wonderful.